You'll find your text this morning, there are two of them, printed in their entirety in your bulletin. The first one is Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and then 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. As we look at the fourth of the five solas of the Reformation that we've been preaching on since October. And so Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Then in 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." For the past several weeks, we have been looking at the rallying cries of the Reformation. Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone. Sola Gratia, grace alone. Sola Fide, faith alone. And today we look at Solus Christus, Christ alone, and next week we will see that everything is to be done soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. Now we just heard Keith and Kristen Getty's song of praise in Christ alone. And I have told several of you this before, but I put you on notice right now that my funeral, I only want two songs. I want the congregation to sing Amazing Grace, and I want the recording that we just heard in Christ Alone played. Both of these songs point to the importance of the five solas, and both of them encapsulate the teaching of the gospel and the only hope that we have. Look at our text in Acts 4:12. I want you to recognize that here Peter is making a defense of the gospel before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of his day. These people had constructed an elaborate system of do's and don'ts, telling people that they had to perform all of those things that they had dictated if they were to have any hope at all of entering heaven. And so Peter, unlearned, rough around the edges, Peter, stands up in front of these men and recognize that these are the men who only just recently had condemned Christ to die. He stands up in front of them and he tells them that when they crucified Christ, they had missed the Messiah. They had missed the Christ, the salvation sent from God. They had built a system, but God had given a Savior. And that Savior's name is Jesus. He is the only name that saves. He is the only foundation upon which to build our lives and our eternities. Now, Peter faced men very similar to those faced by the Reformers. The established church of the 16th century had developed a complex system of rules and regulations. And they had tried to impose this burden on the people, a burden that they could never carry. And I have told you before, and I will tell you again, that if ever lived a man who tried to gain salvation by following the system of his day, that man was Martin Luther. Martin Luther had done everything that the scholars of his day had said he needed to do. He was confessing his sins regularly to the point that he was going to his confessors and sometimes burdening them with his sins for 6 hours at a time. He took a pilgrimage to Rome thinking, if I could just go to that holy city, if I just go there, then maybe I can find the answer. And yet in Rome he found a debauched city. He found a city that was full of sin. He found a city that was full of excess, and he returned from his pilgrimage to Rome even more disheartened and disillusioned than he'd ever been. And he tried to deny his body. He did everything that the church of his day said that he needed to do, and he didn't find any satisfaction in any of it. It was only when he found the truth in Scripture, salvation that is found in Christ alone, that burden was lifted off of his shoulders. You know, the people of Luther's day, the Sanhedrin of Simon Peter's day, and even very many people today have forgotten that salvation is found in Christ alone. He is salvation. And He is the gift of God for us. Now, the Church of Luther's day, as part of what they had done there in the 16th century, had raised up hundreds of saints, claiming that these dead men and women could help you if you prayed to them. And as a result, they disregarded the clear teaching of Scripture. They had forgotten that 1 Timothy 2:5 that we just read is very clear that our prayer is to be only directed through Christ Jesus. He is the one and only mediator. And in fact, He's the only one who is listening. See how far we stray when we disregard this principle of sola scriptura, when we base our faith upon the truth of God's Word, when we base our faith upon some system that men have made. See what happens when we rely on extra biblical schemes and we go astray of the truth of Scripture. And stop and think about it for a moment. Why would I want to pray to anyone other than Christ? Do I believe that He is too busy to attend to the needs of His children? Do I believe that He's limited in His power to perform all that is needed? Sometimes we tend to think low of Christ. We don't recognize that in Him dwells all of deity bodily, and that He is God. He is the same God who spoke the universe into existence. He is the same God who sustains the universe, and He can deal with the needs of all of His children. He's not limited in His power. Do I think that somehow He needs to pawn me off on a subordinate because He's too busy for me? He doesn't care for me? No, never. He alone is the mediator between God and man. He alone is sufficient for every need. And if we go elsewhere, we are guilty of doing what Jeremiah condemned the people of his day of doing, and that is deserting the fountain of living waters and trying to drink at broken cisterns that hold no water. He is sufficient. Who else gave His life for you? Who else can atone for your sin? Who else is perfect in beauty and character and conduct and is holy in all respects? No one else but Christ. So why would we insult Him by lifting up others in His place? And when we do that, we stumble and we fall even into the pit. Let me tell you right now, that you cannot be saved unless your full faith and assurance is in Christ and in Christ alone. Quit trusting in your own supposed goodness. You have none. Only God is good. Quit trusting in any church, this one included, and trust in Christ alone. Quit trying to please God by trying to keep rules. And instead throw yourself on the mercy of Christ, knowing that He can equip you for every good work. Remember when we looked at sola gratia, we looked at grace alone, we saw that grace, the grace that saves through faith, that is alone in the fact that it's all that's needed for salvation. But it doesn't mean that good works aren't important. Good works aren't important for salvation, but the one who has found the grace of God, who is exercising faith in Christ alone, is going to perform the works that God has ordained for them. We don't do good works trying to please God. We do good works because God has already granted us salvation in gratitude for what He has done. We want to participate in His ministry and His work. I want you to know that there is no Savior but Christ, and there is no other path except through the narrow gate of His cross. We try to go through some broad road where everybody else is going. Sometimes it's a path of work. Sometimes it's a path of meditation. Sometimes it's a path of keeping rules. But the only path, the narrow one, is the one that goes by the cross, where all of our burden is lifted and all of our sin is atoned for. And so, because of the clear teaching of Scripture alone, We are drawn by grace alone to have faith in Christ alone for the glory of God alone. This is the gospel. That gospel message is despised by the world, hated by the world, misunderstood by the world, but so valued and treasured by the children of God. I want you to recognize that Christ is sufficient for every need. Every need. If you don't know where to go, go to Christ. He was tempted and tested every way just like us, yet without sin. He is the great high priest who understands our infirmities. He is the salvation won on a bloody Roman cross. And He is the life of the resurrection as He lifted Himself out of the grave. No one measures up to Him. No one. No person has ever lived like Him. No one ever totally and completely kept God's law. There's salvation, no other name. There's no other name given. Why would you go anywhere else? And the Christ in whom we believe knew that we would need encouragement along the way. He knew that we would need the encouragement of brothers and sisters in Christ. He knew that we would need the indwelling Holy Spirit. He knew that we would need the treasury of His Word. He knew that we needed all those things, but He also knew that there was something else we needed. We needed to have something we could hang on to that we could remember. And that is why the evening before He was betrayed, He offered up the remembrance of the Lord's Supper for us. As He took of the bread and took of the cup, He was pointing to His suffering and sacrifice. The only sacrifice that we would ever need to cleanse us from our sins and bring us into fellowship with the Father. Those of you who have been listening to this series for several weeks now remember that I have told you that all of these solas center around the most important question that anyone can ever ask. Most important question any man, woman, child, during any age, in any place, could ever ask, and here's the question. How can a sinful man, a sinful person like me, be justified before a holy God? All these five solas center around that question of justification. How can I be justified? How can I come into the presence of a holy, perfect God? And Christ showed us on that night, He showed us that He's the only sacrifice. That life is found in His body. Life is found in His blood. Life is found in His death and resurrection. And life will be found in His coming again. And so He gave us this remembrance. This remembrance of sacrifice. So we'd always come back to Him. Recognizing that His sacrifice is totally sufficient. A sacrifice that actually brings men to God. Not a sacrifice that has potential to bring people to God, but a sacrifice that actually brings people to God as He exercises His grace in the hearts of people. And so let me ask that you turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, found on page 958 if you're using the Pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll begin reading in verse 23. Page 958, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come.